folks. It's got to be by the word. As we go to him this morning, we're going to be reading in Matthew 13, 10 through 18, I think. I believe that's it. That's correct, 10 through 18, Matthew 13. Before we go to the word, let's thank the author. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning you've given us to come and gather around your word and feast upon your word, Lord, that you have sent to heal us and deliver us, Lord God, that we just thank you so much for this thing that you've given us and this grace by his word, Lord. And Father, let us take it in, and Father, let anything hinder your word come into us, Father, that these things that we must manifest here on this earth this day, Lord, let this day be fulfilled and your word be fulfilled in us, Father. Bless all of those that couldn't make it through the door today. Whatever the hindrance is, Lord, you know what their situations are, and I miss them. Think of them every day, Father. Just bless them and bring them home. And I ask, Father, that you be with this congregation here today. Be with the pastors that are here today and the preacher that's coming today, Brother Wade, and I'm not sure who's going to be here this afternoon, Lord, but I know you're going to be here to bring the service to us, Lord, both this morning and this afternoon. So, Father God, we thank you so much for these things. And we ask now in your name, you just lead and guide us and have your way with us. We ask in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a precious thing to be able to speak his word. As we go, Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing we shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing we shall see, and shall not perceive.
For this people's heart
their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see, and hear with their ears, and understand their hearts should be converted, and should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's what you see. Amen. Yes. Glory. Hear ye therefore the parables of the sower. It's a precious thing, saints, that we have. Let's use it wisely. You may be seated. Thank you for the opening of the word.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I think we'll get ready for the word. Amen. You excited for the word this morning? We'll just go ahead. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, ask him to open our eyes this morning that we can hear that word of God. What a wonderful scripture. Blessed are our eyes that we can see, and we have ears and we can hear. What a wonderful thing. Praise God.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Oh, let's go ahead and stand.
The eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Make that your prayer this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, my Lord, I want to see you. High and lifted up, oh Lord, shining in the light of your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Glad to be here this morning.
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 Lord, you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see.
Goodness. We got some new musicians that got to sit on the front row.
Amen.
Man, yeah, that's what I said. I remember when we had to play two spoons and that was about it. But thank God we got every instrument in the world out here. That's wonderful. And thank God for that. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. That was weak. Are you good to be here in the house of the Lord? Okay. All right. I was wondering if I was stammering or stuttering or you couldn't hear me. One of the two. All right. Let's get these announcements out of the way. Monica's Sunday school class meet in the sanctuary at 12:40 to practice a song. Everybody got that? To practice a song. Sister Monica's Sunday school class at 12:40. Also, Brother Bob will be preaching this coming Wednesday, the 21st. And also remember this coming weekend on Saturday is our youth meeting. Brother Richard Hyatt will be here. We need to meet, and I'll announce it this afternoon, we need to meet after the second service to figure out about the food and who's going to help us with that endeavor. But we're going to have a youth service. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a little meeting, and then we're going to have some questions and answers. We're going to have a fireside chat. And we're going to have food to eat. So all this will be for the youth. And then Sunday, Brother Richard Hyatt will be with us. He's from Russellville, Kentucky. He's the brother that I preach for most of the time when I go up to Illinois hunting. So, and also remember, we got camp meeting coming up August 3rd through the 6th. That will be at Brother Joe Green's at his church. Just keep them in your prayer if you can't go. Give them their support and prayers. And also thank you for the support and prayers for this week, for the family, for Brother Dale and the different ones. Prayers are coming around all around the world, so we're just depending on those prayers. Amen. And thank you for all the calls and support you've given us. Also remember today, Joyce and Danny are out west somewhere on vacation, and Brother Joe Canada is on his way back from Panama City. He'll be here this afternoon, Brother Aaron and Sister Sarah, they're going to go play cowboy too out west sometime. So they're leaving, won't be leaving Wednesday. So, just pray for them and, pray that there's no Indian uprisings and they can get back home safe. Amen. It's a pretty place. I want to go to Montana and Wyoming. I may have to go into Millennium, but I want to go to not Miami. I've already been there a couple of times. Don't want to go back. But I want to go to Wyoming and Montana. This beautiful place, big sky country. So God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for all your support. We need now to turn to a book of Hebrews, and then we'll cover a little subject. And then we will continue on with our eternal redemption. This will be the morning, and then we'll continue on in the afternoon. Is everybody okay? Amen. Amen. Everybody have a good week. Amen. All is well. Prayed up. Prayed up. So you're ready to go up. Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Then we'll read Amos, and then we'll read Revelations. All right. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day that you give us. Lord, we stand today honoring the resurrection, Father, that you rose from the dead some 2,000 years ago, and you're alive forevermore. And now you're in the hearts of your people. And Lord, I pray that you'd just be with us today. Sanctify us for this journey. Bless each one that's here, Lord, and just keep us safe. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here, the ones that are traveling, and the ones that are going to travel. We pray that you'd be with them, Lord, and take care of each one that's watching in today, Lord, that couldn't be able to come. Thank you for getting Brother Al and Sister Anna out and downstairs, Lord, so we can have a little fellowship with them, Lord. We want to draw closer to you, Lord, so we want to draw closer to each other. Amen. Forgive us of our sins, Father, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews 9, verse 11 says, "But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In him entering in, as I read the scripture on grace, we can now enter in. Come boldly to the throne of grace." Now let's go to Amos 3, verse 7 and 8. "Surely the Lord will do nothing." Everybody got that? This is the Lord saying he's going to do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. So he's got to have a prophet that he can speak through, not 40 different, as we're going to look in just a minute, not 400 prophets of Baal that went up to, come on now. There was one. Elijah stood on that mountain by himself. Amen.
Amen.
All right, his servants, the prophets, "The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy?" And let's read Revelation 11, verse 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days." For those of you that don't know, that's 1,260 days. "Clothed in sackcloth, you may be seated in the Lord at his blessing." The reading of the word. Now, what we're going to do just for a moment is we're going to cover... We talked about this, a couple of weeks ago in the Jubilee, and we wonder sometimes why things happen. Everything happens for a purpose. And there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that got God all nervous. He knew exactly what was going on before the foundation of the world. And have you ever thought about this? We would know nothing of a man named Job until God brought his attention to the devil. Nothing was written of Job except, he had a family and he had animals, but nothing happened to Job until God brought his attention to the devil. And that's what I was trying to think. We were many times a couple of weeks ago, we were bragging a little bit, and we were only bragging on God, you know that. But he brought the attention to the devil, I'm sure. He said, "They're bragging a little too much." God said, "Well, okay. Have you considered my spoken word church up there in Lula, Georgia?" Amen. But remember, whatever happened to Job, Christ came on the scene. Elihu came on the scene, the fourth man in the fire. Not the three accusers. I'm not going to worry about them. But Elihu came on the scene and he said, "Listen to what I'm saying." And Job stood up and Job finally said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." And the end of Job, remember, was greater than the beginning. He was restored twofold. So let's take that as not having the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. I like Brother Ernie always quoted that scripture. Not having the spirit of fear. And we're going to continue on as we are. Amen. 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 Try not to skip a beat. We'll do the best we can with what we got, but we like to brag on God.
Amen.
And bragging on God, sometimes you have to prove it.
Right.
And that's what we're doing now.
Amen.
We're proving that we know who our Redeemer is.
Right.
And Christ did come on the scene. And if you'll read there where Christ tells Job all the different things he tells him, then you can see that that's Christ talking to me and you. I don't have time to go through that. I just wanted to interject that. And also, we were looking at the Jubilee. Now, the Jubilee was 2 weeks ago in the 50th year. So let's turn to Leviticus, they'll pull it up on the screen. I kind of wanted to bring this out. I've been impressed to speak on this also, but I just want to put this in as a snippet this morning. We always talk about the Jubilee year and what all the different things have happened. I'm going to cover it just a few minutes, if that's okay. Because it's part of redemption anyway. Now look, Leviticus 25 verse 8, it says, thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years. Because real short, in the Old Testament, there was a release every 7 years. You worked 6 years and it's seventh year. There was a release. But it was not a release to where everything went free.
Right.
Only certain things. There were requirements you had to meet in the church ages or in the 7 years.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Certain requirements that you had to meet. And they're all, you can read them in there. If you marry a wife, but if he gives you a wife, she's got to stay. Because see, you can't take your family out totally until that 50th Jubilee.
Right. Right.
Now think about that. Think about what we, in 2 weeks ago, what we entered. We entered the Jubilee, not the seven sevens. We entered the Golden Jubilee, the 50th year that has never been before. It has never been in Israel or in the Jewish part. They've never had a 50 Jubilee. They've done the seven sevens. But listen, let's watch this. That shall be 49 years. So every 7 years there was a release. It was a partial release though, not a complete release.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Stay with me just a minute. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Now look, Leviticus 25:10. And you shall hallow the 50th year. So 7 sevens is 49. You got to go that one more year to celebrate that Jubilee. Now remember, that Jubilee though, let me show you what happens. And he shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, talking about the Jewish people. And ye shall return every man unto his possession. Whatever the devil took away from you, God's going to bring back. Because watch what happens. And you shall return every man unto his family.
Amen.
You didn't have that promise under seven sevens.
Right.
You could partially go.
Right.
How many times have we claimed our family?
Right.
How many times are we still claiming our family?
Right.
Well, maybe we were under a 49 and they couldn't go free.
Yeah. Right.
But we're not under 49 anymore.
A
Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. In other words, you're not going to plant anything. You're going to live off what you had the previous years.
Hmm.
For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. So whatever's been planted in this church for 50 years, we're going to live off of that. Amen? That's what we're living off of. We're going to live off that what's already been planted. Listen, I can't bring you nothing new. You can't bring another preacher in here and bring you nothing new that hadn't already been preached. All right? You shall eat the increase thereof of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. Everything. Brother Branham said they would watch on top of that mountain and said, Jubilee. He said, you throw down your hoe, you go get your family, and you go back to freedom. In the seven sevens, you had to leave somebody there, or you had to leave part of your possession. There's all that Leviticus and Exodus, all those different ones. You can read that, but let's read this just a little snippet and then we'll get started on eternal redemption. Look, in Leviticus 25:54 says, if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. Now, if you've claimed your children all these years, this is the year you're going to see them come. You better believe that. Because that is our year of Jubilee where everything can go free. Well, Mike, there you go with your laundry list. My kids can't because, well, they probably said the same thing about you, your mom and daddy, but no, they didn't. They said, no, these are my kids.
Amen. Right.
So let's look at that. All of us, we all have kids that have been put in bondage under that 49 that's been put in bondage. But here we come, we give a promise that the 50th year that you can take all your children and go free.
Amen.
But let me warn you about something too. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Exodus 21 verse 5. If you want to just stay the way you are, if you just want to stay the way you are, you didn't have to go out in that 50th year. You made a choice on that 50th year whether to go free or what. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children. What did Jesus tell us? He said, if you can't forsake father, mother, sister, and brother, you'll have no part with me.
Right.
Now, not to do away with them, you understand, but do not put them first. You put God first.
Right.
Amen. Then you claim your wife, you claim your children. You can't claim your wife and children if you don't have God first. You gotta have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You gotta have something to feed off of. You gotta have something for God to come to. The new birth. Don't claim your children when you need to be claimed yourself. I know that hurts, but shake it up, folks. But see, that's what's happened. When this Jubilee, you say, well, no, yes. Yes, I believe we're in that 50th Jubilee. Where we can claim everything we got and we can go free. Now look what happens though. I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
Right.
Let's don't go back.
Right. Amen.
Let's don't stay and say this is status quo, this is good enough. Yeah, we're going to be status quo as far as running the church and all the different things, because that's the way it's been set up. But let's don't say this is the end. This is, we're done. We're finished. No, we're not. This is the Jubilee.
Amen.
Go free from that old master. And claim your family. And he didn't say he claimed his family and then they came later. Turn it back down to the next one. I mean the one before that. And if he not be our redeemed this year, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. He grabbed his family and he took them out from under that bondage and they went free and they were able to be restored. And that's what I'm looking for, folks. I'm looking for a restoration of whatever God wants to bring us. If he wants to bring us gifts, prophecy, he's already brought us good preaching. We've got a good foundation. The Jubilee year is on, folks. It's not that we're going to have some new something, but we're going to eat of the old corn of the land. We're going to eat what's already been established here. And that's the way we're going to eat. And we're going to eat that way from Sunday to Sunday until Brother Dale's ready to come back in here and put the harness on. Amen? And that's just the way it is. If you have any questions or comments, there are some things that we may do. I'm thinking about maybe bringing some ministers in maybe once a month. To just kind of help us with some outside, you know, bring some outside people in a little bit. Brother Hyatt's coming this week. Brother Andrew Glover's coming in September. So we may just do that, but, we'll take counsel. I want you to remember the deacons, elders, and ministers of this church are all together in one.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll stay together.
Amen.
And if there's anything that needs to be, something hard or harsh that needs to be taken care of, we still got a pastor. God will give us the right thing to do. Amen? So let's not have the spirit of fear. Let's just pray for Brother Dale. Pray for all of us. And we'll continue on. And listen, we're in a Jubilee year. Listen, we're not going back. If you go back, you're going to get bored in the air and you're just going to get bored. Amen? It's going to bore you. But let's just not let it bore us, okay? Amen? If you have any questions or concerns, just please feel free to contact us. Or we're praying for Brother Dale, praying for Mom, and kind of keep it to where he can recover, and we can already see that he's here.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so let's turn to the book of Revelations. And as we were talking, I just wanted to kind of get that out of the way because I don't want, there's always, you know, there's the devil there. Yeah. He's always throwing stuff in your mind. And,
right.
And sometimes you say, why? Well, I don't think Job might have not said why.
Right.
But when he got to the end, I'm sure Job said, man, I know I had to go through that for God to give me what he gave me.
Exactly.
He gave me my life and gave me twice what I had before. So, I'm looking for a double portion. Are you not looking for a double portion?
Amen.
I'm looking for a double portion. Whatever God's got, double it.
Yes.
Isn't that what Elisha asked for when Elijah left? He said, I want a double portion. Now, Brother Brown said, Elisha typed the bride.
Right.
So the bride needs to call for a double portion to be on us. It's going to take that double portion to get us out of here. Remember, grace, grace.
Right.
It's going to take grace, grace to get us out of here. Amen. So now let's continue on. I've been studying a little bit more, and like I said before, there's been some new ones with questions, and that's great and wonderful. I really enjoy that. It makes the church bind together more, even when certain things happen and people have questions. And as I wrote, if you'll pull back up, let's pull back up Amos and read that again. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. Now look, he'll do nothing. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
Right.
So like I said before, the prophet, we know the prophet's the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet's the word of God. But it has to speak. When you bring a prophet on the scene, he has to speak.
Yeah.
Right? Every prophet you've seen in the Old Testament, they've had to speak something.
Amen.
They didn't just come on the scene. Well, now here's Elijah. Elijah died. What would that have done any good? No, Elijah shows up and starts prophesying. We had nothing else of him in the past either, like Job. You didn't hear him nothing until he comes up and says, Elijah the Tishbite. Walks up to the woman and says, give me some of that meal and some of that flour. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophet. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? So now let's go to Revelations 1. We know that's the seven church ages and the seven golden candlesticks. So let's go down to verse 20 for save time. We're going to continue on this afternoon and try to get down to a place. The mystery of the seven stars, which I saw to my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. So there has got to be, after the death of Jesus Christ, there is a Gentile bride taken out. And there is seven church ages and seven spirits that are given prophets, stars, messengers from God. If you want to look at the Greek lexicon, when you look at those stars, it's a messenger from God. Now see, you can have... there's a lot of contention, not in the message, and not in the true message believers, but there's contention now that they say that Brother Branham fed off Clarence Larkin, and he used this, and he used this one, and he fed off of this one. Well, so do we. Listen, the difference in Clarence Larkin, listen, I believe God spoke to Clarence Larkin just like he spoke to Dwight Moody, just like he spoke to Calvin, Finney, all those different great men, God spoke to them because they were part of a ministry of the age. But they weren't confirmed prophets that you could put in the Bible. You see, Clarence Larkin had a message from God because, listen, the Baptists had the Word of God in the beginning when the Smith brothers or whoever it was started. There's always been people wonder and say, why do you have to listen to what a man says? Every denomination, every 13,000 denominations started by what one man said. So why should it be so strange that we listen to this one that we listen to? Because he was vindicated in the Word of God. Clarence Larkin was not. He was under the age of ministering or being a minister of the gospel and could get revelation from God. Dwight Moody. Brother Branham said, put millions into the kingdom. Luther. Wesley. But there was no one. Clarence Larkin had a revelation, but he didn't have a message that was tied to the Bible. Personal. Because you're going to read it right here, Malachi 4. Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And there's something he's going to do, see? He did, like I said, didn't just send Elijah in silence. No, no, no. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So it wasn't Malachi 3, and the first part of Malachi 4 was John the Baptist. We know that, right? Because the great and dreadful day of the Lord did not come back when Jesus was here. And then we read last Sunday, we'll read it again, Matthew 17. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come? They're looking for Elijah over in Jerusalem because of Malachi 4. Because that's their last book in their Bible. They don't have a New Testament. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias or Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things.
Hallelujah.
The first Elijah, we'll read it in just a minute in Kings, we turn to it now. The first Elijah had to restore an altar. The third Elijah was to what? To proclaim the coming of the Messiah. The fourth coming of Elijah is to restore all things. Because remember, when the fifth Elijah goes, that doesn't restore all things, that only restores Jerusalem. So we had to have a Gentile prophet. Hello, somebody. A Gentile prophet. For all nations. That's why even I was reading yesterday, Brother Branham so much wanted to go to Israel to take that sign. He'd have broke every scripture in the Bible if he would have went over there. The rapture would have took place for the Jews if he'd have went over there. God said, no, you can't go. It's not ready yet. But I think maybe he whispered in his ear and said, you're not going physically, but I'm going to send your message over there. Amen. I'm going to send your message over there. And he was satisfied with that. Amen. But let's look in 1 Kings and let's read this. It's kind of long reading, but it's okay. I like reading the Bible. And Elijah, son of the prophets of Baal. Now this is Elijah. This is the restorer. This is the first Elijah, the pattern Elijah. Remember, you always got to have a pattern. Elijah, the first Elijah, was the pattern Elijah. And Elijah, son of the prophets of Baal. 400 of them. It took 400 of them. They thought to get Baal on the scene, to get all them denominational. Oh, never mind. Because they were all false. Choose you one bullock for yourself. In other words, Elijah didn't jump in and say, look, I'm the man of the hour. I'll choose the bullock. I'll choose where it goes. No, he said, you choose. You choose the battleground. You choose for yourself and dress it first, for ye are many. 400 of them. 400 preachers standing on a mountain against one man. Kind of like them 300 preachers in Chicago.
Yeah. Right.
Stood up to Elijah one time.
Right.
And had a Mount Carmel experience. Call on the name of your gods. Gods.
Right.
But put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it. Called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Saying, oh Baal, hear us. But there was no voice.
Right.
Their prophet had no voice.
They're
trying to call something on the scene that has no voice, has no message. Think about this. And they dressed it up and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they what? Leaped on the altar, which was made. In other words, by the time they got finished with this thing, it was a bloody mess because remember, we're going to read, they started slitting each other and they started bleeding and they started stomping the altar. What? They got kind of mad, I guess. I'm sorry. Their God didn't show up. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, cry loud, for he is a God. Either he's talking or he's, in other words, he's somewhere, he's on vacation. Maybe you need to find a college secretary. Or he is in a journey or pre-adventure, he's asleep. And he must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed. Listen, at least there was one thing for sure. They were dedicated. Give them that much credit. They were dead. They took their denominational idea to the extreme. Would you? But you don't have to. And it came to pass when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. So it has to be in the evening time. It's when God's going to show up. There was neither voice nor any. In other words, there was silence for all day. Nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people. Now remember, there was 400 prophets, and then there had to be people. Because remember, at the very end of this thing, they take them 400 prophets down to the brook Kidron and kill every one of them. Wow. Okay? So they had to be herded up. By what? The congregation that saw who was right and who was wrong. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar. See, there's the restoration. He repaired the altar. He put the stones back. He put the wood in order. Watch. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Remember, he was a prophet in the Old Testament. Unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, what's a stone? Stones of revelation. He restored the revelation back to the way it was supposed to be. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, not Baal. And not in the name of lords. Am I shouting too hard for you? Okay. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of steel. And he put the wood in order. He's putting everything back in order. He's not just going to walk up here and say, well, this is a bloody mess, but I'm going to call the Lord. No, he put everything back in order. He restored it to where it looked like before they, when they first walked up there. All right. So in other words, that Elijah was a restorer of the word, a restorer of the stone and the wood. He cut the sacrifice in pieces, laid him on the wood, and he said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. First pull, second pull.
Hallelujah.
And they did what he said. Here's the key. Somebody wasn't the prophets of Baal. I'm sure they're standing over there trying to clean themselves up after cutting themselves to pieces. They're not over there helping Elijah. It's the congregation that got a revelation that maybe this guy Elijah has something about him that them 400 preachers, denominational preachers don't have. Do it a second time, and they did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. It took the third pull. They did it a third time. And all the water, talk about washed by the water of the word, that water run all the way down. There wasn't no fire nowhere to be seen. I'm sure the prophets of Baal are going, how many gallons of water is he going to pour on that? It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. So now we're in the evening time. That Elijah the prophet came near. He came to me and you because he said, behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet. He said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac of Israel, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, not gods. And that I am thy servant. Look, and I have done all these things at thy word. Brother Brown preached a sermon at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast what? Turned their heart back again. What did Malachi 4 say? Malachi 4 said, turn the heart of the fathers to the children, children to the fathers. Here, Elijah said, Lord, that thou hast turned their heart back again. In other words, away from those prophets of Baal, because they're fixing to take them, as you continue to read on, which we're not going to read on. The congregation takes those 400 prophets down to the brook and kill all 400 of them. So you can take Baal all you want to. I'll take God. I'll take God and the prophet that he sent that turned my heart back. Because look, Malachi 4, read it again. Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about this, Elijah. It's obvious. This is the first one. This is back in the Old Testament. But he's sending this prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Folks, if you don't know the coming of the Lord's near, you're deceived. Listen. Every day, we get closer to the coming of the Lord, whether you believe it or not. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. There's our prophet. That's going to turn us back. Lord, thou hast turned their heart back again. To what? To the faith that was once delivered to the saints, to the original. There was no doctrine besides the doctrine of God in the first two or three ages. There was no denomination. Sure, there were spirits. But there was no Baptist on this corner, Methodist on this corner. They can't all be right. God can't be that confused. If not, he would have took him 400 prophets and said, okay, you go set you up a church over there and you take about 20 of them. You go search you a church over there. You take about 20 over there and you get you a leader and you go set you 20 churches over there. Elijah said, I only. I only am a prophet. I only am thy servant sent from God. And what about Elijah? Then we know what he'd done all during his life. He restored the Shunammite woman in Elisha and Jezebel was cursed. So we know the two women that Malachi or the prophet Elijah had to deal with. We already preached on that. So let's go to number one and read it. We got to get to the two prophets somewhere. But see, we got to establish that prophets are what we need.
Right. Yeah.
Go back to Amos. He'll do nothing. Nothing until he reveals it to his servants, the prophet, first. He's got to give it to them first. Even in Revelations 10:7, he had to give it to the Revelations 10:7, had to say, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. And then John takes the book. There had to be a voice of a prophet in the end time. There's a voice of a prophet in every age. But like I said before, Clarence Larkin, some of the different ones, they had pieces. Okay? That's not bad. It come from God. But he didn't. He wasn't identified just like we can identify this prophet, William Branham, in the scripture. And the life that he had was totally the life of Elijah. A woodsman. He hated women. Bad women. He didn't hate good women. He was married to one. I don't see how people understand stuff like that. Oh, he hated women. No, he married one. And then that one died, he married another one. It wasn't he was so against women. Had a couple of girls himself. I don't see why people don't. It was the bad one. It's always the bad. He didn't rebuke a congregation up there. He rebuked them 400 prophets of Baal.
Right.
Now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, I just read, he will turn the hearts of the children. What? Children, Pentecostal babies, to the fathers. In other words, restore us back to where there was no denomination. There was no denominational idea in Peter, James, John, Paul, all the different apostles in the New Testament. They didn't have a denominational idea. It was developed because it became a saying, a deed, and a doctrine. We understand that through the seals. And that's how Satan, he goes in real slow. A saying. Well, I don't know if he was out there hunting on the day he was supposed to be or not. I don't know. I don't know. That cloud, you know, they said maybe it was a, you see what I mean? But see what that goes to, though? That goes to a doctrine. Saying, deed, doctrine. And when it becomes a doctrine, people take that as a doctrine, then they go away. Because they have to. They can't take the real doctrine. Give me, listen, he was a word prophet. He revealed the word of God to me, and that I do not, it doesn't matter. I'm like Brother Dick Addison said one time, he said, I don't care if they find out Brother Ram had 12 wives. And the reason he said, we know he didn't, but that's an extreme, but he brought the word to me that nobody else brought. He was a word prophet. He brought the word to me, and I can understand it, and we don't have to dwell on all the human things. If we dwell on all of our human things, we're not going to go anywhere anyway. According to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. In other words, what? He said, tie up the loose ends. What were the loose ends? Denominational ideas. In other words, like I said, he said loose ends, like, Brother Paul, you got a cord. You got a long cord, which is the word of God. It's eternal. It can't be broken. Satan comes in and goes, there's a Trinity. There's an eternal hell. Women, it's okay for you to cut your hair. Well, that's just Old Testament stuff. No, it's not. It's New Testament. You see what I mean? Satan kept cutting those cords of the word. He couldn't do away with it, but he could cut the cord. What? Lose its effect so the loose ends would hang down. So what did it take? It took a restoring prophet. Not a Larkin or a Moody. They were reformers. It took a restoring prophet to what? Tie the loose ends back together and make it one long cord again.
Amen.
So there's no idea that somebody else's idea. Well, I have this idea. That's okay to have an idea. But if it's contrary to the word of God, it's just an idea.
That's right.
Amen. So two, I hope this is okay. It's kind of a refresher course for us, but... But you know what? Have you ever sat down and tried to understand why God sent you Elijah the prophet? You need to sit down somewhere and say, why'd you send him to me, Lord?
Amen.
Why? Because we were part of them loose ends.
Right.
Actually, we were hung by them.
Right.
He will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10. Let's don't get all... Everybody's okay. Don't sound the trumpet. In a minute. He will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. Look, that's just Revelations 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals, which is not a mystery. It's written. Jesus preached them in Matthew, and you can read them in Revelations, what? Six. So you can read them. But it took somebody to interpret that because God said also that he would hide it from the wise and prudent. But reveal it unto babes such as will learn. It will be these divinely revealed. So it's going to take God, not a man's idea. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. Everybody all right with that? Let's go to number two. Feast of the Trumpets. Brother Ram said, now he's been revealed through the church ages. Now watch, through the church ages as the Son of God. Now what did this, let me explain this real quick. The Son of God is a revelation to give you the new birth, to change your soul from a sinner to a saint. That's what he said he'd do. I'll send back the Comforter, and he will not just come with you, he'll come in you. All right? Now, that's the Son of God. He said, all the different things. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The world will see me no more, but you'll see me. All these different things. I'll send the Comforter back in my name, and he'll, what, lead you and guide you into all truth. Everybody got that?
Right.
But there was still some loose ends that God winked at the ignorance of man. Let Satan cut the cord to see what you'd do with it. That's the only way I can explain it. God allowed Satan to cut the cord. God never started a denomination, ever. But he allowed Satan to do that. He just did. He allowed him to do it. What? To see what man would do. God being a spirit, the Holy Spirit, he revealed himself in the church ages in the congregation as the Holy Spirit among the people. So now we find in the Laodicean church age, this is Revelation 3:14. That remember he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was put out of the church.
Right.
Why? God can't stay in a denominational situation because it's false. God's not where false is. God's where truth is. And he's trying to get back in to the church and they won't let him in. No, we, listen, if you let him back in, we're going to have to, come on. We're going to have to do away with our denomination. We're going to have to do away with this. We're going to have to do away with being able to smoke a little bit and drink a little bit and party a little bit and wear what I want to and wear not what I want to. You understand what I mean? It's like I said about grace this morning. It's the grace of God that I don't do the things I do, that I used to do. It's the grace of God. Because you know what? Be real with yourself. Sometimes your old self wants to do it again. Brother Boyd put his finger up. I think I'll put mine up too. I think Brother John. Oh, okay. Right? But it's that tie post. It's that thing down inside of you that says,
amen.
The things I used to do, I do them no more.
Amen.
Why? Because there's a different person inside.
Amen.
Now that's the change I want first. Then that's going to take me to a body change. But in the Laodicean age, because they said you're rich, have need of nothing. See, you can't talk to people in this age. You can't hardly convert, get anybody converted or even listen to you. Hello? Why? Because they know it all. They got Google. And know it not. I'm reading the Bible now. This is not man's idea. That you're miserable, poor, naked, and blind and don't know it. He was put out of the church age. Then according to Luke 17:30, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, Lord, have we not got one of them conditions here? Got transgender people running the country and so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now he was reading the same Genesis that we read. Now notice that Sodom, remember what happened in Sodom. Now let's go to the next one. Now what is the sign of the Son of Man? Because we need that sign of the Son of Man, because in the church ages he was the Son of God. But the Son of Man revelation, let's go to the next one. Queen of Sheba, 1960. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Look at that angel down there to the church elect. What he done? Does everybody understand what he's talking about? He came to Elijah. Melchizedek and the two angels came to Abraham. Thank you. Came to Abraham, right? He stayed with Abraham. Now what was that? Melchizedek was not a spirit. That was a man. That was God. That had put on a little human flesh and talked to his elect Abraham. What happened to the two prophets? They went to Israel. No, they went to the world. He said a modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. See, there, a lot of people have bashed them too, but I'm telling you, they're identified in the scripture too. They're not major prophets. But Brother Brown said they were come to point, to blind the eyes of the Gentiles. Right? And bring in, listen, these people were saved and going to be in heaven that was converts of Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. He sure got Lot and his wife out, part of the way, his wife, but he sure got them out of Sodom, right? The two prophets that went down there. What are you trying to say? We know that William Branham was a prophet, but he was a prophet to a bride. Because everybody else that turned him down, he's condemned them. It's condemnation to turn it down. But now it don't mean that you're damned to hell. There's going to be people being given eternal life. If you'll really think about it, there's going to be, if it's one in a million, Look how many more people that's going to be on this earth. Not as bride, but as eternal people, there's going to be way more than there are us. Way more. By millions. No, by billions. By billions, there's going to be more people that are given eternal life or that are justified and died. You've got children that don't make it to the age of accountability. Man, the world's going to be populated. That city is where you and I are going to live just for the bride. And it's a very small part of the earth. Amen? So let's don't think we're so great. Now, yeah, we are great because God told us we're great, but we're not the only one that's going to be there. It's not us four no more. What are you saying, Brother Wade? These people, I'm not damning nobody. That's not my job. I'm just telling you that me and you, though, have been given a grace, have been given an opportunity for God to open the Word up that He's never opened to anybody else. And He knows you'll take it or not. He knows you'll take it or not. He said, look down here at this generation. What He's doing now, they'll receive a sign, but they won't believe it. There you are, but it comes just the same. An evil and adulterous generation will seek after a sign, and they'll have it. It'll be given to them, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three. Now what? Resurrection. The sign that we were given in the end time is a resurrection sign. Nobody had ever been able to stand night upon night for 30 years and tell the people what they did 2 years ago, what doctor they went to, what color clothes they had on, what house number they lived at. Nobody was able to do that. Now, maybe in part, people prophesied. But there was a man stood there in a prayer line. And he said, I saw you yesterday sitting on the side of a bed. You had on a red dress. And the doctor was blonde-headed and had on glasses. Now, what was he looking at? God had inhabited a man so much. God had inhabited a man. He had moved over so much to where one day, even in a prayer line, remember, he said, this is not the voice of William Branham. But it was. There was no change in the voice. Listen to your tape. It's like 1959. He's in a prayer line or they're praising the Lord. He said, this is not the voice of William Branham. This is the voice of God. But it never changed. It didn't go, this is God talking now. No, it was Brother Brown's voice. He had moved over so much. So we got a resurrection sign where a man say, you've got cancer, it's on your left breast. And you saw a doctor yesterday. You live at 1234 West so-and-so Street. Oh, I see you. You're with a man. And he's got a headache. And he's got cancer. And then, oh, yeah, you're praying for your son. And your son's got so-and-so. And he's over at the hospital. Heavenly days. Nobody's ever done that except Jesus himself. Amen. There's our resurrection sign that you can do that too. Amen. You can do. Now listen, there was one sign that he had that he could stand there night after night and declare that God was there. He says, I can't do anything until he comes. Well, there was a prophet of the hour. They had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a manifested son of God, and he still had to wait on something. He had to wait on an anointing. He had to wait on that anointing of what? He's here. Because he's the one that's going to talk to you. I'm just going to move out of the way. He said, it's a gear. Remember, he said, it's a gear that I get in. Well, you know what? It's a gear to get out of the way. We need to get in that gear. But the resurrection will be the sign. Now remember, we see Jesus, when he was here, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Never went to a funeral. Well, now how many people were raised from the dead in Brother Brown's ministry? There's no telling how many. There's so many, ever how many documented cases, but how many of this undocumented? Why? The Son of Man was there. It was God in human flesh. Now remember, Brother Brown wasn't the Son of Man. We spoke that again. He was a Son of Man yielding himself so that the Son of Man could take over. And remember, it was never wrong. Never wrong. Always was right. Never missed it one iota. You remember that one time somebody was talking about that after Brother Brown declared this woman lived at a certain street? You remember somebody telling some, one of the brothers was telling about that. Remember that? He said, "Oh, now Brother Brown, you missed that." I said, "That woman lives at so-and-so."
She just moved.
They went back to the woman. The woman said, "Oh, I moved yesterday. You didn't know about it." But God did.
Hallelujah.
God knew about it. Amen. The woman had moved one day before and the man didn't know that the woman moved. So he thought, "Well, Brother Brown, that's wrong. That's where she used to live." She said, "No, I moved yesterday." God's never wrong, folks. If God's wrong, we need to find somebody else to serve. But the resurrection will be the sign. And the resurrection, this sign is given to the church in this last day. The angel of the Holy Spirit in the meeting showing the same thing, doing the same thing across the nation, proving that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead just the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the generation that will receive it. Are you that generation? So let's go now. Everything is then is based, all everything we have is based on resurrection. So we have a resurrection. Look, resurrection is a state of having passed completely through death and having risen from the dead. To be in resurrection is different than to be alive. To be alive is the original state without having passed through death. Self-explanatory. Look, to be in resurrection is to have passed through death and to have been raised up. Now, Jesus Christ did that. Because everybody else that has been resurrected, Lazarus and all them people that resurrected in Brother Brown's ministry, they probably have already passed on. But the Lord Jesus, he passed on and then he came back and he ain't never passed no more on. So it's based on that somebody resurrected from the dead and he's still, as the Bible says, alive forevermore. Because that way you and I can have confidence. I can't have confidence in Lazarus. Lazarus is gone. He died. I can't have confidence in all these other. Now listen, I'm not going to say I don't have confidence in William Branham, okay? But he's done passed on. My confidence is in Jesus Christ. My confidence is because he's the only one that died, rose, and he don't have to die no more. But now remember too, all those that have passed on, they're in that same situation now. They'll never die again. And they're not dead now anyway. They're more alive now than they ever have been. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 12. We'll get to the two prophets this afternoon if that's all right. Now if Christ be preached, I've been trying two services, Donnie, so help me. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? Pharisees and Sadducees. That's who he's dealing with. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? In other words, he wasn't there. He was somewhere. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Everybody got that? All right, resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given. Now look, see, look at the revelation you and I have. Now see, when we see this, what do we see? We see us sitting in judgment, not at judgment. Right? Because see, it's been a revelation, look. And I saw thrones. Now, the denominations don't see it that way. They see a throne. And everybody's got to stand in before them. Not so. It took a prophet. Not a Larkin. Not a Moody. Because you know what? They probably died under that same anointing that they were going to have to go through tribulation or be resurrected and have to give an account at the great white throne. This is the great white throne. You will not hit this if you're born again today. You'll be the part of the thrones. Now look, there's not going to be millions of thrones and we're all going to be sitting like this. That's why I'm sitting here. You're the throne. You're the throne room. You are the throne of grace. So there's going to be people. And sure, they sat upon what? In judgment. And judgment was given unto them, not to them. Read that scripture. In other words, here, you judge the people. That's what that says? Judgment was given unto them, not to them. See what that little word makes a big difference? Because it wasn't judgment. Thank you. Was given, and they're all going to stand. No, it was given unto them. In other words, you judge, because the Bible already told us the saints will judge the earth. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Now watch, look at this now. That were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, in which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon the forehead or in their hand, and they lived in the reign of Christ 1,000 years. He's talking about the people that are standing on the throne. That's us. Because we're going to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. He's talking about the bride. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first. See, I don't know where they get the doctrine that the first resurrection is not going to do you any good, I guess. If you got to go to the white throne judgment. Because it says right here, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's us. Not in judgment, with judgment. The judgment is with us, not against us. You've already been judged if you're born again. Oh, please understand that. 1 Thessalonians 4, we'll stop right here. We'll start right here this afternoon. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Okay. Today, brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others. Oh, I hope I make it. Oh, I hope mama made it. Oh, I hope so-and-so made it. I like what Brother Mike said. You can start out with hope, but you can't stay at hope. Hope has to go into faith. Amen? You can't hope you're saved. You got to have faith that God's already saved you. For if we believe, are we believers today? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, Paul being a prophet, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So what are we looking for first? Like I said before, we're looking for the dead in Christ to rise first. Not a rapture, not even a body change. We got to get the dead saints out of the ground first. This is the order. That's why we're trying to go through this. This whole thing that I've been preaching has been in order. It's an order of what's happening in eternal redemption. It's an order. And we've only got to the dead in Christ shall rise first. We hadn't got to the two witnesses. Hopefully we'll get to them this afternoon. Because you got two witnesses. You've got the battle of Armageddon. You got us coming back in the millennium. You got us living 1,000 years. You've got the battle of Gog and Magog. You've got the future home. Or then you got the white throne judgment. Then you got future home. All these different things we haven't covered. We ain't even gotten future home yet. But it's part of eternal redemption. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The world's looking for that, I'm assuming. We've already had it. God hiding himself in simplicity. But revealing himself in the same. You believe God's revealed a message to you? Then you've heard the shout. Watch the shout. Hey! What is it? I'm presenting you, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet with a message. The voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And who's the archangel? Christ himself. We know that. And with the trump of God speaking, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, there's the rapture, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now listen, we're not going to start here and you're going to see us going up through the clouds. Remember, it's secret. The world's not going to see us leave. Brother Branham said 500 people could leave the world and nobody'd ever know it. And if there's only going to be a few of us alive and remain, they ain't going to be millions. And the world's not even going to know it. Wikipedia won't even know you're gone. Some of you got that, some of you did. So anyway, Paul did. So anyway, wherefore comfort one another. That's why you're sitting right here. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Do we comfort ourselves knowing that we've heard the shout? Everything. Watch this. Look, keep going. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go one more and then we'll close right here. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Favorite scripture. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Listen, there's only one mystery left, folks, and that's how God can change your vile body and not have to get you another one. That's the mystery, because listen, the whole world don't believe that. The whole world believes you gotta die and leave your body where it's at because it's vile and God's gonna give you a brand new one. That's not resurrection, that's replacement. Listen, that would be easy to do. But God don't like easy. Because he's hiding it. Because listen, I'm telling you, 99.9% of the world believes that there's nothing good about this. It's never going to be good, and you're going to have to put it away in a grave, leave it there, and God's going to just, there you got a new one. No, no, no. Resurrection is not replacement. Resurrection is bringing up what went down. Did Jesus grab a new body and leave that other one in the tomb and grab him a new one and then just come walking around? Listen, they won't be an empty one with Ray Gabriel. They won't be an empty one. I mean, there'll be an empty tomb with all of you that have lost your loved ones. Because God's going to bring that body up. How in the world would he do it and then not do it for the rest of us? He's the first fruits. Is that what the Bible says? He's first fruits. Empty tomb. Now, is it going to look like where you go and you look there and you look in the, and like the, what was the, I ain't even going to say it. Never mind. Somebody had a video where people were coming up out of the graves, you know. Secret, folks. Secret catching away. Listen, if you're going to have a glorified body and God's going to change your body and make it young again and make it glorified, you're not going to have to dig dirt to get out. You see all this, though? See how that the world is so deceived? Because I've had them tell me, one day the graves are just going to open up. Huh? That ain't secret. Jesus is just going to come park the clouds and come down through the eastern sky. That's what I told a brother. I said, when you see that, he was a brother, and he wasn't in the message, but he was a Pentecostal brother. He said, oh, I just can't wait. So I just keep looking at the eastern sky, just waiting for the cloud to part and Jesus walk. I said, Tommy, you done missed it according to the Bible. Because my Bible says that we'll go as a thief in the night. Nobody will ever know it. That coming will be judgment. That coming, when he comes down and every eye shall behold, that's judgment, folks. You better watch out. You don't, because listen, when you see that, you're going to be running that way. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. We've heard that. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality, mortal, must put on immortality. All right, we're going to stop right. We're going to read Revelation 4:1, because that's the rapture, and then we're going to stop right there. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Listen, folks, this is real. This is the rapture of the church. This is the word that's not even in the Bible. It's always catching away or caught up. So let's don't look for a rapture. It will happen when these other things happen.
Right.
All right, let's go by scripture. Resurrection. Got it? Change.
Amen.
You. Changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Then catching up. Rapture, whatever you want to call it. Culmination. Okay? You okay? You might have to wear earplugs. After this, I looked. After what? After the church ages. Revelations 1, 2, and 3 is what? Church ages. Right? So after this. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Open book, open door. If a book's closed, if a door's closed, how in the world are you going to get in it? And you know what? Jesus is so nice, he's still knocking on that door. But not for us. We opened the door and let him in. And then that we did that, he opened the door to the Bible, and then he opened a door in heaven. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet. What? A message. Talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Because listen, when we're gone from here, we're at a marriage supper for 3.5 years, waiting on Israel to get their, to get their atonement. So there's a lot more to happen even after we're resurrected and raptured. Okay? And immediately I was in the spirit, behold, there, see, one throne.
There you go.
See, we're not in judgment. We're going to meet our Savior. We're going to meet our husband. We're going to meet our God, and there's only one of them.
Right.
And if he's sitting on the throne of your heart, it's going to connect with that throne up there.
Right.
Amen?
Yes,
it's going to be the same guy sitting on it. It's not two guys sitting, hello?
Right.
It's the same guy.
Amen.
Sitting on this throne and that throne. Amen. Only God can do that.
Amen.
And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one. Not three. One sat on the throne. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. One standing in the midst of the golden candlestick. One God. And his name is what? Lord Jesus Christ. What a revelation. Listen, folks, by no means am I belittling the world? But there has to be a separation. If we live like the world, we're of the world, and we get their condemnation.
Right.
I'm just sorry. Like Brother Brown said, I hate segregationalism, but God's a segregationalist. The prophet of God said he was. Boy, now I tell you about somebody standing up and saying that in the 60s. That was pretty rough. But he said, God's a segregationalist. Why? He told Israel, he said, don't you go over there and play with them people. Don't you go over there with those ites and start playing with them. Well, I'm telling you, don't be playing with the ites out in the world. You're a segregated group of people. If you're a bride, he has put you in a place. He has. If you put yourself in a place, you're in trouble. But if he puts you in a place and said, now I call you bride, under the voice, under the shout and the trumpet, I call you bride, then you have been pulled away from the world and segregated away from the world into what? A new world. I'm a new creation.
Amen.
I'm a brand new man. Amen. Old things are passed away.
Yeah.
I've been born again. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Then we'll continue this afternoon. We'll probably get to the two witnesses. We're there.
Is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord.
Yes,
sir. Every knee shall bow, every tongue come.
Shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But you know what? We do it willingly. We do it now because we know He's our Lord. But some that are going to have to get way over there and have to be in judgment, that's going to have to literally get on their knees and say, "That's the Lord," and never be able to make it. But they're going to confess that they missed it. Lord, please don't do that, people. If you don't know the Lord, get to know Him. There ain't a thing in this world that's worth it. There's nothing worth not knowing the Lord. You say, "Oh, this is too hard for me." No, it's not. Why would God make it hard for His children? We make it hard. We make it hard in our humanity. God's not going to make it hard. If you'll get God inside of you, it's going to be real easy. You'll see the world in a whole different perspective. You'll see the Word of God in a whole different way. You'll see things that go on around your life. I hope that this year, I told you at the first of the year, whatever you got inside of you, let it out. I don't care if it's bad. At least you're letting it out. Get it out of you. But if you got God inside of you, give it to somebody else. Amen. Live your life like it's the last day you're going to be on earth. That's what the prophet told us. Amen. But let's give it away. Amen. The very thing that we cherish so dear. You get the new birth, you'll want to give it away. You'll want people to have what you have so bad. Because you see people that struggle, and sure, we struggle anyway. As human beings, we struggle. We have strife and feelings and emotions and this and that and the other, but there's one tie post that'll help every one of us if you'll get born again. Like I said before, it will not take away your problems, but it will make your problems easier to handle.
Amen.
Now, is that not true, Christian friends? It won't take away your problems. You think it's a flower bed of ease being a Christian, you're in bad shape.
That's right.
But it will help you handle all life situations.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
All of them. I don't care. You name one and God will help you do it. Amen. But you got to make the move to open that door to let him in.
Amen.
You let him in, he'll become the master of your house.
Amen.
And being the master of your house, he's perfect. God bless you. Remember Monica's Sunday school class, meet in the sanctuary at 12:40 to practice the song. Just keep us all in your prayers. God bless you till we come back at 2 o'clock. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you give us, for the opportunity we have, Lord, to speak to your people. Now I pray, Lord, what's been spoken, Lord, that they'll take it to the heart. And Lord, it'll become something, Lord, that will flower and that it will grow into a living plant, Lord, inside of their body, Lord. You want to inhabit us more than we want you to inhabit us. Lord, I pray that we'll open our doors. And even though we are born again Christians, we still have doors that we don't like to open. But Lord, may we as this church be able to open those doors and let you come in and sup with us, Lord, and commune and talk to us and tell us, whether it be by the voice of the prophet messenger, Lord, or whether it be the voice coming through from the Bible that we read, Lord, it's just precious to be able to hear you talk to us, Lord. The creator of all universe wants to talk to us, Lord. Thank you for that. We pray that you'd be with us, sanctify us for this journey. We meet back together at 2 o'clock, Lord. We pray that you'd just bless each one, keep the tiredness away, Lord. And ever, Lord, be in our midst, Father. We need you more than anything in the world. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You're dismissed.
The dead, and he is Lord. Amen.